Now, your turn, your time. Everyone say, your turn,
your
time. We're starting a new series of sermons that'll go over the next 4 weeks or so around this whole theme and thought, and it's my privilege and honor to share it today to you as we launch the series. I want to welcome our online community today. So good to have you. We've got numbers of people today across our leadership and church community and family that are unavailable due to COVID, and it just seems like everybody's getting it at the moment, and so they're joining us online today, which is wonderful and nice to have you if you're in the room today. Really good to see you out this morning, and new people, lovely to have you join with us today. Make sure you stay behind for a time of some special hospitality straight after the service, if you would. There's been some birthdays during this week. Seems like all the good people were born in the month of July. It really does. Miss Leanne, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Bradster, for this week. Kimberly Rose, happy birthday for you. We've got Mick and Tracy. Where's Tracy? Happy birthday, Tracy, for I think yesterday or the day before for your birthday. Happy birthday. If you've had a birthday in the last week and I've missed you, happy, happy birthday. Melissa Bayer had a birthday also this week. And Petros and Gail celebrated their 45th wedding anniversary. Congratulations, guys. So good. Such a good example for everybody. Thank you for being you. We're going to have a cake out there, which is kind of got my name on it, but it's for everybody that's had a birthday. It's your birthday cake. If you want to have a birthday, it's your birthday cake. So let's just enjoy that together. It's a real privilege also to have some of my family, especially in for the celebrations that we've had this week. The one that's wandering around there, slowly sitting down, my mother. Good to have you here, Mum, all the way from Bundaberg. Lovely to have you. Always good to have you here with us at Impact Church. You're part of the family here, and this is your church, even though you live 4 hours away. My eldest sister, Charles, and her husband, John, great to have you here from Bundaberg. Also give them a big welcome this morning. It's lovely to see you. And Rebecca, my middle daughter over here, lovely to see you, Beck. Beck surprised me, flew in for a special event on Friday night. Was it Friday night? I've had so many nights this week, I forget what night is what night. Friday night, and just amazing to have you here, Beck, and here with us in church today. And of course, Dan and your fam bam and Jazz, who are regulars here, are a part of what we do. And thank you for also being here today. It's just amazing. Always good to have family get together, isn't it? Yeah. Just amazing. Okay, your turn, your time. My turn to preach, your turn to be involved also. So let's do this. I'm going to try and preach as quick as I possibly can today. So if I talk pretty quickly, it's because I'm hungry. Esther chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Let me give you the background to this verse. Many of you are familiar with this verse and this person and this book in the Bible. It's the background of the story of Esther. There's a book written with the title of her name, the book of Esther, in the Old Testament. She lived as an orphan. Her mum and dad were killed very young in Esther's life, and she was raised by her older cousin, a man called Mordecai, who raised her faithfully as one of his own daughters. She was a Jewish woman living in exile in Persia. The Bible talks about her poise. Everyone say poise. And beauty. Her poise and beauty were what caught the attention of the king's attendants, the king of Persia, who were instructed to go find him a new queen, because he decided he didn't want the old one anymore, so he wanted a new queen. And they were acting under his instructions to look for a new queen. And so Esther caught their attention. Now this king, he was a big king. In the Bible there's little kings and there's big kings. This one was a big king, the king of Persia. There were 127 provinces that were under his rule and his authority. And so this king, he hosted a 6-month celebration to show off the wealth of his kingdom and his domain. When the 6-month celebration was completed, the king decided to host a special party for all of his attendants, all the servants in the palace, just to say thank you to them for everything that they organized. The king was drunk at this particular party, and he wanted to parade his queen, Queen Vashti. Now, Queen Vashti, the Bible talks about her being beautiful. Her name actually means the beautiful one, the beautiful one. And he decided to parade her beauty in front of all the attendants when he had a little bit too much of the king's wine, and she refused. Queen Vashti said, "No, not going to happen. Not doing that. Not going there. You're not showing me off to anybody." Like any good woman would say. And so the king decided to sack her. He sacked the queen. He banished the queen from his presence, which caused a problem. He needed a new queen. So rather than just pull one out of the pool of the harem, is that how you say it? Or harem? Or harem? That thing, H-A-R-E-M, which was a group, a company of women that were considered his wives. Rather than promoting one of them to be the new queen, they went on a search. And they gathered beautiful young virgins throughout the land and brought them to the palace of the king. The Bible says for 12 months, Esther being one of this group, for 12 months, Esther went through, listen to this ladies, a regime of beauty treatments and being absolutely spoilt and prepared, bathed in coconut milk and whatever other milk you could think of, goat milk maybe, bathed in all this sort of ointments and beautiful perfumes for 12 months. Any girls want that? Like that? For 12 months prepared for the moment when she would get to meet her king. This is what it says in verse 15. It says, when it was Esther's turn, when it was her turn to go to the king, she accepted the advice of Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem. And she asked for nothing except what he suggested, and she was admired by everyone who saw her. It was Esther's turn. It was her turn to go and meet the king. She'd never formally and officially met the king before. The king was not someone you just met. You didn't come into the presence of the king unless he raised the golden scepter and gave you the authority to come into his presence and to speak with him. So she had spent a whole year in preparation, lining up to meet him. Now was her moment. It was her turn. And the Bible says the king loved her. He loved her more than any of the other wives that he had, and it wasn't long before she was chosen to be the new queen. Now, shortly after becoming the queen, a corrupt leader on the king's staff, his prime minister, a man named Haman, decided that he wanted to kill off all the Jewish people that were in Persia, the province of Persia at this time. So he set in place a plan for genocide of the Jewish people. And that's when Mordecai, Esther's older cousin who had raised her, came to her and got into her ear. And I want to read this verse again that we started with to give it a fuller context. He says this to Esther, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews, your people, will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the royal position you have for such a time as this." Esther had made it. She was the queen. She was now honored by everybody throughout the land. She had everything she wanted whenever she wanted it. However, she had a secret. And that secret was she was a Jewish girl living in exile, and the king did not know that. And so her life was in danger, but not only her life, the lives of her people, the entire Jewish community in exile with her, their lives were all in danger. And more Mordecai got into her ear and said, who knows, maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and this is your turn, your moment, your time to speak up and to do something. I want to talk to us today and introduce a simple thought about the fact that your time has come and that this is your time, and that we are really each one living in the time of our greatest potential. We are living in the time of our greatest potential. I want to share some simple thoughts from Esther's life and moment about potential for us. You know, you can't do anything about your past, but you can do something about your future. You can't do anything about your ancestors, but you can have a huge effect on your own family or future family. You can't do much about history that has already happened, but you can do a lot and a lot more about the rest of your life that you have to live. You can't shape what's happened, but you can shape what's going to happen. So for every person in the room today, be aware that you are right now living in the space of time that is your time. Everyone say, my time. It's my time. We are living in the space that is my time. We're not waiting for our time to come. We're not waiting for the right time to come. Your time started when you started, and your time will end when you end. So don't waste your time. Don't waste the time that God has given you. This is your time. Don't wait until something happens that you're waiting to happen before you start living in your moment and living the life that you want to live. Whatever it is, don't wait for it. This is your time. You're living in the time of your greatest potential right now. Otis Redding wrote a song years ago that many of us would know about time. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll in. Sitting on the dock of the bay, what? Wasting time. Don't be like Otis. Don't waste time. Time is not for wasting. Time is for living. Time is an investment. I hate the thought of wasting time. I'm not a time waster. I want to make the most of the time I have. Anyone in the room that's turned 60 knows, don't waste time. Turn to someone old near you and say, don't waste it. I got to tell you, 60 feels good. 60 feels real good. I mean, this story of Esther about 12 months of preparation and ointments. I've had a week full of partying this week. Started on Monday night and went right through until last night. We'll probably continue today. And I've had people just pointing me in the right direction, saying, wear this, go there, do that, this group of people. I've been everywhere this week. An incredible week of partying. And our besties, Daryl and Marichelle, pastors Daryl and Marichelle, came in and celebrated with us in the city for a few nights. We ate so much food, Daz. We just did so much. We've been axe throwing with a few blokes. We've been top golfing with a few blokes. We've been in at the Euphorium. We've been down at Versace. We've been at the Sheraton. We've been everywhere all week, because when you turn 60, you deserve it. Yeah, you do. You do, absolutely. You deserve it. It feels good to turn 60. You can't afford to waste time. You know, your life is God's gift to you. What you do with your life is your gift back to God. And who knows that you may have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And this is not a time for your life to be silent. This is a time for your life to find its voice, find its space, find its place, and fulfill the plan and the purpose of God that's on your life. So don't live in the someday of your potential, the someday or one day. It's your time and it's your turn right now. Now, your turn is in reference to an opportunity. Your time is a window, your turn is an opportunity. Every turn has a time, and every opportunity has a window. Opportunities that come our way have a season attached to them. They have a set time. The window doesn't stay open forever. It's an opportunity at a set time in your life. And so every opportunity has a life, and every life has an opportunity. And your life is full of opportunity, and my life is full of opportunity, personally and corporately as a church. And I am convinced that we are living in our time, and it's our turn. We are living in our time, and it's our turn. It's our time, our turn, our time, our turn. Now, within that context of your time and your turn, I want to show you what the scripture says of Esther. It says, when it was Esther's turn to go to the king, she accepted the advice of Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem, and she asked for nothing except what he suggested, and she was admired by everyone who saw her. It was her turn, Esther's turn, to be prepared for 12 months. That year had been her turn to prepare herself for that meeting in the presence of her king. After it was her turn to meet the king, it was her turn to persuade the king. Do you know, when God puts you in a place, he puts you there for persuasion. When God puts you in a place, you are there to persuade people. You are there to be a voice for people. You are there to care. You are there to share. You are there to influence. You are there to motivate. You are there to inspire. You are there to save. You are there to salvage. You are there to redeem. You are there to lift. You are there to be grace to people and for people. And so after it was her turn to meet the king, it was her turn to persuade the king. In every person's time, there are turns. In every person's time, there are turns. And what we do with our turn in life determines and affects what happens in our time. So I have a question, and the question is this: what is it your turn to do right now? What is it your turn to do right now? At your stage in life, with who you are, and the resource that is on your life and the giftedness that is on your life, what is it your turn to do right now? For some of you, it's your turn to be 18. It's not easy being 18, and particularly in this modern day world. For some of you, it's your turn to be a parent. Now, you had parents. You talked about your parents. You judged your parents. Now it's your turn to be a parent. That's a big deal, to be a parent. And it's your turn to decide what you'll model and what you'll teach your children and how you will raise your family. For some of you, it's your turn to be unemployed. It's your turn to be unemployed and to see how you will handle that season in your life. It's your turn. For some, it's your turn to study and get ready for your career path and the journey that God has ahead of you. It's your turn. You know, there are some, and occasionally I meet some that want to do what I do and want to be the pastor of a church, but they don't want to take the time or the turn to prepare for this space and this place. Some just want a microphone or a platform or a group of people to speak to. Before God will ever give you that, you have to prepare, because it's not your turn to be on stage at that point. It's your turn to prepare. You can't do what I do and what many of us do without preparation. You see, we don't live at the level of our potential. We live at the level of our preparation. We don't live at the level of potential. So many people waste potential, waste the potential of the gift of God that's on their life, waste the time that God gives them. We don't live at the level of our potential. We live at the level of what we have prepared for. I'm a great believer in the value of preparation, a great believer in the power of preparation, a great believer in the pathway of preparation. And I want to cheer people on that are 16, 17, 18, and are making decisions decisions to go into a career, a trade, an apprenticeship, university studies, whatever it might be. I mean, Samantha, we said goodbye to Samantha Bayer last weekend, who's going to Oklahoma for a 2-year scholarship to become a professional soccer player. I want to see her on the world stage. I want to see her realize her dreams and do that. We want to cheer people on that are in the pathway and the process of preparation. You know, Esther, she was preparing, not just waiting. She was preparing. Everything was intentional. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. If you don't prepare, that door may never open. Talk about being beautiful. When we booked into Versace this week, the lady on the desk looked at me and she said, "I can't believe you're 60 years of age." I looked at her like, "Huh? Specs? Have you been to Specs? Seriously?" She said, "I can't believe you're 60 years of age." Tim, she said this. She says, "What's your secret? What's your skincare secret?" I said, "Have you heard of Solvol? Like, the sun and Solvol. That will do it. That's the extent of beauty treatments for most men. That's my secret, if you're wondering how to keep looking good." It doesn't matter how beautiful you are, unless you're going to prepare yourself, you're not going to be ready for your turn. It's a time right now to be preparing for what is in the future. She prepared for 12 months to meet the king, and Esther knew that it was her turn to prepare, and she made the most of the opportunity she had to prepare. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. There's a whole lot of good that God's got planned for you and I to do, and we need to prepare ourselves to be able to do good. Prepare ourselves to be able to do good, to help people that are in the struggle and people that will be in trouble. Here's my news for all of us today. It will always be your turn to do something significant and something specific to help other people. There is always something of value in the season of life that you are in, even if you don't like it. Have you ever been in a season you don't like? I've had a few of those. Seasons you don't like. Even in the seasons... sorry, I only swallowed the false teeth I don't have. Whatever your season is, there is meaning and significance and value in it. And our lives are way too valuable to live in a place of uncertainty and confusion. We've got to dig for the potential and release the potential and the purpose that God has for every one of us. Now, I don't know what it's your turn to prepare for right now, but I do know every turn that you make will impact your direction and your destiny. The good news for all of us is this, is that God in His grace redeems us sometimes when we take a wrong turn. Sometimes people have made wrong turns at intersections, got confused, lost clarity, lost direction, lost a sense of purpose. And God in His amazing grace has a beautiful way of redirecting us and calling us back to destiny. And so if you miss your turn, God can recalibrate everything to get you back on track for your destination. The thing about potential is you don't decide it, you discover it. You don't decide your potential, you discover it. See, God is the source of all potential. David tells us in the Psalms that God created us. He says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." He talks about being fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he said, "Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I hear people say all the time, "You can be anything you want to be." No, you can't. There's a lot of things I want to be that I can't be. We're all wannabes. We are. We're all wannabes. There's just some things that I will never be. I will never be a brain surgeon, as much as I want to be one, because I've chosen a different pathway. You thought I was going to say because I'm not smart enough, but it's because I've chosen a different pathway. I'll never be an astronaut, because I couldn't fit in one of those ridiculous suits they wear. I'll never be a professional basketball player because I'm just not tall enough. I'll never play State of Origin I don't know why, but I never will. There's a lot of things that I might want to do that I just can't do. It sounds good, but it's just not true. I can only be and do what God has planned for me to be and do. I can only be what my director, my master, my creator, my sustainer has put before me. And he says, all of the days, all your days are numbered before him. He's seen them all. In terms of what you do in life, I think one of the greatest lessons we can all learn, I mentioned it last week, I think, is this, is don't compare yourself with anyone else because you don't have to be anyone else. And that's one of the great things about being 60. You get to a point in life where I don't have to live to please anyone else. I can just be myself. I can be free. I can be me. And it's good to be me. And it's good to be free. And it's good to get to that place in life because I spent years trying to be someone else and like someone else. And you compare yourself with someone else and this preacher and that pastor or this evangelist or that prophet, whatever it might be. But I finally got to a point when I can just be Tony. And Tony is good. And when you find your space, it's the best place to be. And it's the best person for you to be. Nothing good comes from the comparative behavior. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. You really are special. Denley is not the only person in the room that is special. We are all special and unique. And God created you just that way. So don't waste your time and don't waste your turn. Cultivate your potential. Cultivate your potential. You see, Esther wasn't just preparing to meet the king. You could say for a year. Her whole life was preparation to meet this king. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, you know, they're an overnight success. Like Cameron Smith, who's just won the big golf thing. You know, he's like an overnight. No. He's been on the scene for a lot of years. You just didn't notice him because he was in preparation. People don't notice you when you're in preparation. When you're in preparation, you feel insignificant. When you're in preparation, you feel like you're in obscurity. You feel like nobody knows you. And then all of a sudden, when you find your space and you find your place, people make the comment, man, you came out of nowhere. Where did you come from? Well, I've been coming for a lot of years now. Yeah, I've been coming for a lot of years. You're in a pathway that is going to take a lot of years and decades. And any overnight success has taken 25 or 30 plus years to get there, to get there. You know, when we say God can use anyone, that's true. But don't ever assume that that means that he uses them before they're ready to be used. Don't ever assume that. God can use anyone, but God prepares those that he uses. And God blesses us when we make preparation. So cultivate your preparation. Some have the mindset that they can skip preparation and just go to potential. You can't. You won't. It won't work. It won't happen. You don't accidentally arrive at that destination. You know, before it was Esther's time and her turn to come before the king, it was her turn to live as an orphan child. And she lived with an awareness of why me? Why me? Why did I lose my loved ones? Why did I lose my family? And she handled that turn in life. She handled that turn in life with a sense of dignity. Her turn to have a good attitude and make the most of her opportunity. It was her turn to believe in the plan that God had for her life. It was her turn to believe that as a slave, as a Jewish girl in captivity, that life could be better and that the best was yet to come. It was her turn to handle life well. How would she handle it? Filled with anger, filled with attitude. No, she handled it with poise and with beauty, and she was attractive. How you handle your moment, your turn, is very important because it'll determine whether you're beautiful or whether you're ugly. It will. Whether people look at you and they're captivated by you. Esther at every turn kept her poise and kept her beauty. She walked it out when it was her turn in a way that promoted the beauty and attractiveness that God had naturally placed upon her life. It was her way of keeping her purpose alive. And then it was her turn to be prepared for a year to see the king. Why so long? She just kept showing up. She just kept being prepared, and now she stood before the king, and it was her turn to be queen. She now had status. She now had everything she wanted, but they still didn't know that she was a Jewish lady. How would she handle this turn? Mordecai, her older cousin who raised her, whispers in her ear, "Esther, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And now it's your turn. It's your turn to speak up for your people. Esther, God has not just brought you here so you can enjoy everything that comes with being the queen. He has brought you here. He has brought you to this place to be the voice of a queen on behalf of your people." What would she do? She could be put to death for approaching the king and making a request of him to spare her people. Mordecai said, it's your turn to speak up. It's your turn to be a voice. It's your turn to fill that void and let them know. It's your turn to help your people. Perhaps, Esther, just perhaps, you're the one to raise your voice and turn this moment around for everybody. Perhaps you're in this high position for this high calling. Can I close by saying to every person in the room that you may have some unfortunate things that have happened in your life that you need to move beyond. That's the case for many people. You may have some unfortunate moments that you need to walk beyond. Maybe it was how you were born. Maybe it's where you were born. How you were raised, how you were treated. Maybe it was your childhood. Maybe hurts, brokenness, betrayal. Can I ask you and encourage you to walk out that moment and to walk out of those seasons of life that may have defined you up to this point in time? Can I ask you to walk out of them in a way that promotes your beauty and your attractiveness? Your beauty and your attractiveness. In a way that keeps your God purpose alive. You see, church, this is your turn. And this is your time. Your turn and your time. It's your turn to give up what has happened in that church. And what happened to you. And in that season, in that moment, to stop rehearsing it and to stop nursing it. It's your turn to open up to God and His people and His heart and His kingdom and His authority and His lordship all over again. It's your turn to get beyond that broken relationship and believe that there's a better one to come. It's your turn to believe that. It's your turn to move on from the failures, the shortfallings, the goof-ups, the mess-ups, the stuff-ups that have marked your world. It's your turn to leave behind past experiences. As God has brought you to a place of opportunity again, and it is your turn. And it is your time. And who knows that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And you might be just thinking, well, that's okay for Esther, but I'm just little old me. Well, Esther was little old you. She was a version of little old you. She was just a little insignificant slave girl. Jewish by nature. Destined to be obliterated because of who she was. But God raised her to the palace so that she could be a voice. You have no idea of the places in life that God wants to raise you to. You have no idea. The Bible says you were raised to be seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. There are gifts, there are abilities, there are things upon you and your life that are yet to evolve, and don't count yourself out. You may be 60. You may be 70. You may be 80. Keep living till you die. That's what my mum says. Keep living till you die. Every day, get out of bed and live your life for the opportunities that God lays before you. And don't be old. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be old. Use your Solvol. Get in the sun and shine. Why don't you stand to your feet? I love you. I love you. I love the fact that you listen to me. Thank you. Thank you. I want to sing a song. A real song. With you. And with you. And with you. And you. And you. And most importantly, with you. What song are we going to sing? First one. First song. Just pick a song, any song. God bless you. God bless all our online community and family. Lovely to have you on board with us today. Have the most amazing week. Have an amazing week, church. Fill your space in life with confidence that God is with you, God is for you, and the best really is yet to come. Hospitality time now open. Love for you to join us. We're going to cut a cake and enjoy some special food together. God bless you. Thank you very much.